Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hey, my name is Wes.
Hey, I'm Becca.
What's the name of your band?
Ra.
Ra.
Riot.
See, if I knew we knew that, I could have hooked it up and we could have had stereo. 2006, 13 years, 4 studio album, lots of lineup stages. Can we get this all straight? Because Syracuse band, that's because you went to school there, not because you grew up there. See how I'm leading in here? So let's start with Syracuse University and meeting and all that stuff.
Well, Rebecca and I met the first rehearsal for the band. We both knew Milo, and he was like pulling people from different parts of his life, I guess. Trying to start a band. I was trying to start a separate band, and he just said, come to this one instead.
I met him in an electronic music course, and he asked me to be in a band via Facebook before the last class. So we hadn't even spoke the entire course.
Wait, but you were in the same class.
We were in the same class.
But he asked you via Facebook.
Correct. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So then the last class, it was like, oh, hey, are you that guy who, you know, oh, hi, yeah, I got your message. Yeah, that sounds really fun. And then we spoke over the whole break. And then when we got back to school, which was the January of all of our last semesters before we graduated, except for Matt, we had the first practice in my basement.
What are you amazed that no one hasn't asked you yet?
Someone texted me the other day that my name was deleted from the former members of Dirty Projectors' Wikipedia page. And that's something I want to correct the record on, that I am a former member of Dirty Projectors. I did a tour and a separate one-off, and Dave would vouch for that. So, yeah, that's something that I want to correct the record on.
I guess I'm surprised that we continuously don't get more questions about the lineup over the years and the changing lineup.
Okay, but wait a minute. Is that what you don't want me to ask you?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, then I'm going to ask it as a different way. See, I can twist and turn. I've done this before. Why don't you want me to ask you that?
They're just... Well, there are so many nuances, and also memory is a tricky thing, right?
Well, I mean, let's just get it over with, that very early on in this band, something very serious happened.
Oh.
That one can read. But I'll save you.
Yeah.
Does it really matter? I mean, lineup changes. If the core of the band, that's the key, remains the same, other than what happened, you know, early on, which obviously was devastating, but... Other than that, why does it really matter if people ask you about it?
I suppose, like, I'm a very honest person, and a lot of it is not people's business.
Oh, so another one,
and so,
yeah. You don't want to go into
it. I just don't want to go into it, you know.
We're done. This new album that's coming out in August, Bad to Worse, you've been working on that sucker for a long time with that Rostam guy. I mean, when a song takes that long to gestate, and it's good. Obviously, the gestation paid off, but it went through a lot of morphing, didn't it?
Yeah, it was started in the same session that we started Water and I Need Your Light, the title track from our last record, in. But I guess it just kind of, you know, we plan to make another like week of session, you know, sessions, like just trying to write a few things in a week, you know, like every day trying to do something new. And we had some song that was like starting to feel promising, and we just kind of extracted all the things we liked out of it and added it to Bad to Worse. So a lot of the lyrics and some of the like synth vibe of that song that now is just not really in existence anymore kind of morphed into Bad to Worse.
Now that it's out there, do you like the song? Because, I mean, obviously it's gotten a great reaction.
Yes, and that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It helps to feel right that I'm right to like it.
So that very same guy got you to see Relatives. And, you know, and apparently this was, as written up, a very kind of controversial trip of some sort. So you want to go a little deeper into that?
Well, it's not so much that we were on a trip, but he was telling me about, well, so I guess he goes to the Cape every summer, and I go there like a lot because it's just a drive from New York, and my wife's family lives there. But he was telling me about this trip that he took from D.C. to the Cape, and it was like this 12-14 hour trip where he took like a train and then he took a bus and then he took another like shuttle and another thing. And I was thinking about it as he was telling me about a trip that was really similar that I took. So it's kind of like these two parallel trips that we kind of were talking about, that informed some of the vibe of the song, like, you know, leaving New York, or, you know, he was leaving DC and you get so far away, it feels like a different place. And, you know, you look at a map and it's just like, oh, well, I'm just going up to Massachusetts. But, you know, it feels so different. It feels like you've gone farther than what it looks like, I guess.
But Flowers, you know, if I put that next to Bad to Worse, right, and I'm trying to do the puzzle of what this record's going to be like and what it's going to be about. You got, you know, and again, just if I just want to pick vocals alone and sounds, suddenly Flowers is kind of pretty fuzzy and it ends with a bunch of phasing and it's definitely trippy and California-y. So the yin and the yang of that, how does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question.
I feel like, knowing the whole record intimately, to me now those songs are pretty closely related compared to a lot of the other things on the album. And
okay.
Yeah, and cool. I do think, at least from my perspective, this album felt in the beginning maybe like, do these songs all fit together? Do they all belong on the same record? And obviously we decided yes. And because it's all stuff that, you know, came from us, and I think in the track listing that we put together, it now feels like very, very natural, and I get the evolution of it, but it might, if you think Flowers and Bad to Worse are on different sides, you might be in for a great surprise.
There's, well, the fourth track, Endless Pain, Endless Joy, that's probably a little bit even more like abrasive and crazy than these songs. But we kind of felt like that fit because it's like it's a little bit of it's like, in case you get too comfortable, you know, the audience gets too comfortable, you add like this, you know, in a quiet section, there's a big stab and it's just like, wake up everyone. So we kind of felt like that was strategically placed. And yeah, it is pretty different. It's kind of like,
I wonder if that's at
Sforzando. Sforzando?
Yeah, probably. Anyway.
I'll buy it.
But if we have too many of those, then it starts to feel like, well, it's just this roller coaster. So I think that may be one thing that excluded some of the more like louder, fuzzier, punkier, noisier songs.
What is the filter for a Rah Rah Riot song? How do you know that a song is right for this band?
I feel like that's changed over the years, for sure, and it's gotten much broader. And I think maybe the answer to that is once you bring it to the, like, it's brought to the band. What do you think?
Like, yeah, when the band decides that it's a Rah Rah Riot song.
Does it work? Does it, you know, once in the studio, you know, does it make sense?
Yeah, and does it fit with some other thing? If not some lineage, some new thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
And speaking, go ahead.
I think Endless Pain, Endless Joy is a perfect example. If that was brought to the band in 2006, it would have been like a hard pass.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a side project song.
Way too crazy.
Way too crazy. But I think now it fits so well. And I feel like part of the evolution in us and then broadening what can be a Rah Rah Riot song, I think, would probably improve the longevity of the band and make it, you know, more fun for longer.
Speaking of studios, speaking of recording, one of the things you've talked about a little bit is, you know, kind of challenging yourself and working with new people and really kind of mixing it up.
We did it just a tiny little bit on our last record. We did two songs with Rostam and the rest in the same studio with the same producer that we used on our first record. And we kind of felt like, well, we just kind of made that work. And that's kind of what we always do is just make it work. But that felt good that we had the option to throw those things in, make it a little bit more dynamic, you know, in all sorts of ways. But yeah, you know, just trying new people because, you know, I love working with Rostam. He like makes great sounds. He makes great, you know, we write great songs together and he knows how to get like the best performances out of us. And, but sometimes, you know, sometimes he's busy too. So we need to find other stuff to do. So, I mean, that's part of it, but, and you know, there's other people that are making great stuff too. So just like trying a lot of things and feeling like we had the, you know, executive role of producing this record. You know, we were taking things, deciding where to do what and who to work with. And that made it feel like, you know, we still have a lot of control, even if we give it more in certain places or to more people.
Each of you pick a track that is not going to be the obvious track.
You know, we were just talking about making, you know, starting sessions with new producers and stuff. One of those tracks that came out of, you know, just like first day basically of working with people is Belladonna. That song just came from, you know, the day we went into the studio, Milo and I went, to meet Kieran and Dean. You know, it's like, it's always a funny thing. You know, you shake someone's hand, nice to meet you. Okay, let's make a song. Luckily, we started with something that, we started with This Time of Year, which was a lot more written than Belladonna, but it was kind of cool. They just showed us the beat, and I was like, well, let's just hum along, and Milo was playing some guitar and made a riff, and I kind of adapted it, and I never really expected to get this far on two songs in the first day of meeting these guys. But then, you know, Dean was like, well, do you have any, like lyrics that you just keep on a notepad or something? And I didn't have like a physical notepad, but in my phone, there's always things. But instead of pulling up a lyric thing, I pulled up a list of movies that I wanted to watch. And one of them was Belladonna of Sadness. And, so then I was like, oh, that kind of actually fits in that melody. And the movie was insane. And so I was like, well, it could be something to take some inspiration from. So that's kind of how that song came to be.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside. And then you get to play songs by anybody you want in between.